Tonight, James fights taxation, Mike throws bowls of dicks around, and we make Twinkie brownies.
From NutritionPunk.com.
And this is his sidekick, Sweet Potato Mike, welcoming you to the Nutrition Punk Podcast.
You got so tongue-titillated.
Nutrition Punk Podcast. Blah, la 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 la.
.com. Not really, but we're going to do an episode all on nutrition. We haven't done one, I don't know, since January. So it's been like 2 months or something, like, whatever.
It happens.
Yeah. There is a NutritionPunk.com. There's nothing there. You can go look at it and send me an email that I'll never check. I'll do something with the website one day, maybe.
We will do. So he'll hand it over to me, and it'll be all about, like, tacos and cotton candy.
Yeah, I mean, for God's sake, I think CouchPotatoMike.com still, it does exist.
It does exist, and it technically has more stuff on it than NutritionPunk.com.
That is true. This is the Survival Punk Podcast. We are doing Nutrition Punk all day, every day on it. There's something I wanted to banter about. Oh, well, yeah. Does it fit in the show? No, we'll just save it for another day. We'll save it for a government ranty episode.
Now, this is going great. We don't know where we're going. We sound all senile. How long you been up, by the way?
Oh, I slept in till like 5:30 or something.
Oh, okay, good. So it hasn't been, so it's not after, that rough on you.
Yeah, after not nutrition punky, but I pulled a 30-hour, 27, 8, 9 something hour awakeness yesterday.
Yeah, plus it was your street cheer. I give up.
I molded into my cheat day because I counted the morning time as being a new day.
That's irritating the shit out of me.
So, yeah. I think I've mentally sort of planned it. At some point in the future, I'm going to do a long blog post, and we're probably going to do a podcast on drugs. I mean, we might do the podcast on drugs, but it will be about drugs.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Yes. It might be a double whammy. It might be on drugs, about drugs. not saying the drugs. And how they apply to survival. So
I had a weird dream last night about that. I had a dream that you kept like roofying me with like armodafinil.
Oh yeah. Shout out to armodafinil, by the way. That's what kept me awake for 24 hours. And in the shit hit the fan scenario, I could see how for patrolling and stuff that could be a game changer.
It was so fucking weird, the dreams I was having. Like, you kept slipping me armodafinil, and I was, like, so hyper and, like, running at 1,000 miles an hour. And it's weird. In the dream, you had actually, you had traded in the tiny house for, like, half of an apartment building. And when I...
What?
Half of a high-rise apartment building. And when I say half of it, I mean, literally, the apartment building was originally shaped like an L, and you just lopped half of it off and, like, moved it next to my house.
Oh, wow.
It was, like, fucking 27 stories tall.
What?
And you're like, I keep hearing noises. I'm like, did you clear the apartments before you... Were you like, no.
No.
I'm like, there's hobos and drifters in
here.
Yeah,
you're my slaves. Whatever.
You got the Amish people to move it, though. It was pretty awesome.
What? That's so ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I was having some fucked up dreams last night. For some reason, you were in all of them, which makes me worry about myself.
Yeah. I don't remember any of my dreams from last night.
I thought you were about to say you didn't remember any of mine. I'm like, God, I hope not.
Yeah.
Because that would explain a few things. But what have we got coming up on the show today, Mike?
What do we have, Sweet Potato Mike?
Let's see. We're going to be talking about Earth Day and how we're not as doomed as you think we are. We're going to be talking about a Boulder group, and we do mean Colorado and not giant rocks,
yeah,
who are calling for an excise tax on sugary soda and more. We're going to be talking about the do's and don'ts of survival fitness. We'll discuss 23 restaurant foods with crazy high amounts of sugar in it. And we'll be discussing used weights on their survival thingy, along with Mike's rant, which is all about internet BS today. So why don't we just jump right into it?
Yep. I'm going to kick myself on those used weights when I tell you something. I'm like, God damn it, I hate myself, but whatever.
Oh, God.
So what do we got? News story first, you
yep.
said?
Earth Day. We're not as doomed as you think.
Earth Day. This comes from CNN.com, a legitimate website, not like the back alley of the internet for once.
Yeah, that, I picked this article.
That's dirty as shit, CNN. In their like header banner on the top of the webpage, they've embedded a fucking Google ad.
Wait, 10% off coupon for Ensure always stays with you.
Yeah, that's a damn Google ad.
It is a Google
on
ad.
On CNN, come on, motherfuckers.
They got to make their money.
How
dude.
Broke is you, motherfuckers? Oh, man.
Already.
This is something I would pull.
Okay.
CNN.com, story high. I hate when people do that. Nope, skip all that. Sure, there are plenty of reasons to be terrified about the future of the planet. Melting ice sheets. Intensifying heat waves. Vanishing rainforests, falling polar bears from the skies, dying elephants, bleached out coral, and kids in China don't know the sky is blue. This stuff is serious. It's real. It's bad. Like you as a writer. But, know what? It's the full pitch. It's not the full picture. In celebration of Earth Day, a day in which more than 155 countries were signing a landmark UN agreement on climate change, here are five reasons the Earth is not as doomed as you think. Know of others? Please share them in the comments.
Number one, 195 countries have agreed to fight pollution. We truly are at a turning point in history. December 2015 is when 195 countries agreed to tackle the Earth's most pressing crisis, climate change. The Paris Agreement, which was negotiated at the COP21 UN Climate Change Summit in the wake of the Paris terror attacks, shows that the world is more unified on this issue than on perhaps any other. The Paris Agreement sets the bold goal of ridding the world of fossil fuel pollution this century and limiting warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius. The accord was decades in the making, and is absolutely critical if we're going to pass a livable planet on to the future generations. This is the beginning of the end of dirty fossil fuels, and it's great cause for celebration.
This paragraph broke my brain. We're not even going to move on until I rip this 17 new assholes. One.
Was.
The climate change summit in the wake of the Paris attacks. So terrorists are shooting up people and cutting their heads off, but we're worried about the temperature. Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously is what we're fucking worried about?
The terrorists, they're not worried about the temperature.
No.
They live in the fucking desert.
Yeah.
They poop in the sand and then they cover it up.
And then I don't think it clicked in your head because I didn't like see your eyes explode. But when you're like, the Paris Agreement sets a bold goal of ridding the world of fossil fuels pollution this century and limiting warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius.
No, I caught that. They're going to
build giant fucking air conditioners and be like, oh, it's too hot outside. Turn it down.
We have to limit warming.
How the fuck do you do that?
There's a big fucking thermostat that they're not letting the public know about.
I mean, I literally, like, it's so, and I've read, like, bad fiction about this stuff, like, I literally see mad scientists worried about make-believe climate change building, like, giant fucking rockets to move us, like, a foot away from the sun. Well, just move us away from the sun, then it'll be colder. You dumb motherfuckers, you're gonna kill us all.
Well, you know they have that weather control equipment up in Alaska, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff is. Number two. Let's see if I don't get pissed about this one. Solar energy has gotten way cheaper by placing tiny little ads in newspapers all across the country.
Tiny little ads.
Oh, man. If we're going to beat climate change, then we've got to stop using dirty fuel sources such as coal, oil, and natural gas. The clean replacements, things such as wind and solar, it looks like we're finally entering a solar era. And that's at least partly due because it's at least partly because solar power is getting so much cheaper. The numbers are bonkers. Solar power prices halved in just a few years, falling from 6.3 watts of solar installed in 2007-2009 period to $3.01 in 2014, according to a report from the U.S. Department of Energy.
Why did they write dollars like that? Why didn't they actually write three? Okay, that's supposed to be three. That's $3.1.
Yeah.
Why didn't they write $3.10?
I don't like this writer anyway.
According to the report.
Yeah, the sun could be the world's largest source of electricity by 2015. The International Energy Agency said that's partly because the stuff is getting so damn cheap. Sure thing.
Nothing you want to bitch about on that
part? No. I don't.
Just the shitty writing?
I mean, I've seen solar prices ripped apart. They're not really that efficient yet. Still, to like power a modern American home, you're looking at like a $20,000 investment.
God damn.
And like a 20-year payoff time until you've like hit the point where like you're no longer it just.
See, that's what happens when a fucking new power source proliferates before it's ready. There's either disasters or major money loss.
Do you know how long ago photovoltaic electric solar power was invented? Like 1910 or something stupid.
Yeah, still, we're not ready.
We're not ready. We need dilithium crystals, damn it.
God damn, yeah. And, like, fucking, what you call it? Antimatter.
Yeah.
Number three, the world invested twice as much in clean energy last year as in coal and gas. Need more signs we're moving into the post-fossil fuel era? Look at investments in 2015. The world invested twice as much money in clean energy as dirty coal and natural gas. The world spent $286 billion on clean energy, more than ever before, according to a UN Environment Program report, and only $130 billion on oil and coal products. Luminaries such as Bill Gates are also gathering billions in funds to work on moonshot technologies that could help us meet the climate goals that are outlined in the Paris Agreement. We're likely to need advanced nuclear technology and possibly carbon capture technology to halt warming short of 2 degrees. Most investment is needed, but there are important signs that we are starting to make these bets on the future.
I
just stunned silence.
Yeah, I. Whatever. It's that damn 2 degrees thing, like.
2 degrees.
There's a saturation limit of carbon in the atmosphere.
Yeah, huh?
It can't take, like. God damn it.
It can only take so much. You can only pour so much salt in the water before you just see salt laying on the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm all for better energy sources, but. This rider is a stupid hippie. Electric cars are getting popular. No one loves a Prius.
There's more than just the Prius.
Yeah. Gas and diesel cars are big polluters. Oh. The transit sector accounts for about 15% of all global warming pollution. But guess what? Electric cars are catching on in a big way. And as the electricity system becomes cleaner, too, that means that a huge chunks of global emissions will be eliminated. We all know who to thank for this. Elon Musk. The semi-robotic, kind of scary, kind of brilliant tech visionary who seems to be operating on the presumption that everyone will be driving electric cars in the not-so-distant future. The Tesla Motors founder earlier this year debuted a $35,000 electric car. That's not bad at all, actually. That's not terrible. That's seen by many people as a monumental shift, a sign that high-end electric cars soon will be available to the masses. blah, blah, blah.
Okay, I have a big problem with electrical cars.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, you got your hybrids, like the Prius.
Right.
And other things like that, but then you got the straight electrical cars. Most of which have a battery life of, like, depending on how you drive it, a couple of hours, and then you have to spend 15 fucking hours charging the goddamn things. That, to me, is just flat-out fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is only viable to inner-city dwellers.
Now,
you could not make it. You could not go to work. You could not.
No, I couldn't. Because it would take the vast majority of my battery life to get me there. I'd have to spend all day charging and then sit there for a while longer before it charged before I could even come home. I might as well just fucking move into the office.
Yeah.
But, and I want to, okay, I'm going to go off on a tangent here for a fucking second. A few years ago, my dad used to work arms. He was an armed security guard.
You could say he was an arms dealer. I'm like, no. That's badass.
No, but he was an armed security guard, and he worked for this guy named Attili, who lived up in Lebanon. Okay, Attili was a scientist, a clean energy scientist at that, and the motherfucker invented this motor. He invented it initially for electric golf carts. Okay, but he actually upsized it and put it into a car. Now, the way this motor worked is basically, and I don't know exactly the mechanics behind it, but it was an electric motor. You only ever need to charge it once if you're going to be using it constantly. Because as you charged it, the turning of the wheels actually turned turbines within the car that constantly recharged the battery.
Mm-hmm.
He left Nashville in a sports car with this souped-up motor in it. No gas in the car. Wasn't gas. Straight electrical engine. He left Nashville with a half charge. Drove to Los Angeles. Came back. Never charged it once. When he pulled back into his own driveway, the battery was fully charged.
Hmm.
It was infinitely renewable. You never had to stop and recharge it. Everybody thought that was a brilliant idea. Except for oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
One major oil company, I'm not going to name them Exxon, decided it would be great to start throwing out death threats to him and to his family if he didn't sell them this motor.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually he did. So they now own the rights to it, and it's never going to see the light of day as long as there's oil on the planet.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not sure if it was Exxon or not, but it was one of the major oil companies. And the reason I know this to be fact, I've seen the police report where my dad shot a guy with a machine gun coming over the dude's wall.
Huh.
Yeah, my dad showed me that police report.
Oh, wow.
That's why he needed armed security on his property, because a motherfucker with a submachine gun climbed the fucking wall and was coming to kill him. And my dad shot dude in the spinal column.
Holy shit.
He was just trying to shoot him. He didn't mean to, like, cripple the bastard for life, but still.
He probably deserved it.
Yeah, but eventually the dude fucking sold out, and now that thing will never see the light of day. But it just proves that electric cars could be a hell of a lot better than they actually are. But they're only as good as big oil's going to let them be. But anyway, number five, China finally is starting to clean up its act. Finally, China, it's the world's scapegoat when it comes to climate change. The line goes, well, China's not doing anything about its pollution, and we all know about its pollution, so why should we? The trouble with this, it's fundamentally untrue. Not only is China pledging to sign and ratify the Paris Agreement, it is experimenting with carbon pricing systems?
Oh, fuck me running.
To reduce pollution.
No.
And plans of a natural carbon market that it says will be in place next year. The United States sure hasn't done that, and a five-year plan announced early this year says China will do more to cut its pollution than previously thought. With China's new target for 18% reduction in carbon intensity in 2015 levels, we estimate that China will actually reduce its carbon intensity 48% from 2005 levels by 2020. The World Resources Institute says in a blog post, exceeding its original target of 40% to 45% reduction by that year. It will also be a first step toward achieving its Paris Agreement pledge to reduce carbon intensity 60% to 65% by 2030. China is the world's biggest annual polluter of the atmosphere, but it's also home to the world's largest clean energy market. It's Earth Day. Might as well see that as a glass half full. You should have seen the look on what you should have seen my my co-host over here. He's just like hands in his like fucking face in his hands, pulling his hair, just completely disgusted.
Yeah, this carbon it's a tax, and it's a bullshit new currency. Like, I've heard them explain it, and it's like, how is that stopping? You literally are doing nothing. Like,
explain it to me, because it was barely alluded to it.
It's like you get like credits, and then you get a penalty if you like apparently produce too much carbon. But then if you produce under the amount of carbon that you're allowed to produce, then you have
carbon credits.
You have carbon credits that can then be sold to other people to use those carbon credits to have more carbon credits, so they don't get a fine for the carbon things.
Okay, I have heard of carbon credits before.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of it to that extent.
Yeah, it's just full on crazy. I know this does anything to do any
No.
If you said, oh, China is planting trees because trees sequester carbon, I'm like, that's fucking genius. They're like, oh yeah, they're planting trees in the Gobi Desert to help out problems. No, they're making a tax system to help out the environment. Go fuck yourself, China.
Yeah, because basically what they're doing, they're trying to get people, okay, people look at it as, oh, they're trying to get people to spend less credits. No, they want people to spend less credits so they can then in turn sell those credits to other people so they can pollute more.
It's, and I'm barely touching on the surface. Like, we could probably do a whole show about that, and both of us would be so angry at the end, we would start, like, just smashing trees with our heads.
Oh my God.
Which would not help the problem at all, because then we're breaking trees. Yeah, move on to fun stuff. Honestly, this next one's gonna piss us off too.
Honestly, dude, that article looked a lot better. I didn't read it.
We've all been tricked
it
like just, that.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, you know, yeah, we're not as bad off as we think. Okay, yay. I didn't really realize it was written.
Yeah, I think yesterday or this morning I came across an article that the guy that created Earth Day, yeah, he ended up killing his wife and composting her.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'm all about Earth Day, but stop being stupid.
Why'd he do that?
Because he's fucking crazy, like the guy wrote that article probably.
Jesus Christ.
This next article comes from westward.com. I have not read it, but I assume it's not going to make me angry at the writer.
Yep, a Boulder group calls for excise tax on sugary soda and more.
Yes. Update below. Boulder has been named the least obese city in America multiple times in recent years. And a local group would like to keep it that way.
Dun, dun, dun.
Reminds me of fucking Hot Fuzz, yeah. Yeah, the group's council, like the city council. Healthy Boulder Kids is backing an initiative that calls for an excise tax to be placed on sugary beverages such as soda and other sweetened drinks. As noted by the Boulder Daily Camera, what a dumb name. Yeah, the Daily Camera. The initiative, currently entitled Tax on the Distribution of Sugar-Sweetened Beverage Products, has been filed with the Boulder Clerk's Office, kicking off a 15-day review process. Once the language is okayed, backers will have until June 28th to collect the 7,000 or so signatures needed to earn it a place on November's ballot. Too far.
Yep, too far. The initiative, on view below in its entirety, points out that a tax of 2 cents per ounce of beverage that fits the measure's criteria, 5 grams of sugar or other sweetener per 12 ounces, will be imposed on distributors rather than consumers in Boulder, although that cost will presumably be passed along. Okay, goddammit, right there. Fucking right there. That pisses me off. 5 grams of sugar or other sweetener? So in other words, if you don't use sugar as a sweetener, it's just that's just fucking like putting all sweeteners in the same thing. It's like, it doesn't matter. If it's sweet, we're going to tax you. This is just goddamn another fucking way of them trying to get motherfucking money.
Yeah. I'm interested about the actual wording, like, of sweetener. Like, is that...
I mean, does that count honey? Honey's a sweetener?
Yeah, I mean, does it count, like, honey? Does it count stevia? Does it count, you know...
They're all fucking sweeteners.
They're all sweeteners, yeah.
Yeah, it just said sweeteners.
Yeah, I'm...
Shall the city of Boulder taxes be increased by $3.8 million annually and by such amounts are raised annually thereafter?
Wait, what the fuck is this? No, they're not reading the bill itself.
Oh, never mind. Sugary drinks are the single largest source of added sugar and caloric intake in the United States and are the leading contributor of diabetes and obesity. These drinks cause significant harm to health that we all pay for in the form of increased health measure premiums and taxes to support public health programs and it keeps getting worse. Taxes on sugary drinks are a proven way to decrease consumption and improve health.
No,
it's just a way of fucking getting money. Okay. All this is doing is fucking trying to pinch pennies out of motherfuckers. Taxes on sugary drinks are a proven way to decrease consumption and improve health. No, it's just a way to get the same people to spend more money on the exact same amount.
I would say the even worse probably byproduct would be the manufacturer is going to cut the cost somewhere. And that's usually in the form of like,
yeah,
maybe they can get toxic grade waste like sugar. Like, you know, I mean, obviously people moved away from like real sugar to corn syrup because it's subsidized by the U.S. government and it's cheaper, but worse for people.
Plus, if they were really that goddamn concerned about it, they wouldn't be fucking making an initiative or trying to pass a bill to add taxes to it. If they were really that fucking concerned with people's health, they'd be making an initiative or trying to pass a ban or a law that bans the production of sugary drinks.
Yeah. I mean,
ban the production, make them completely unfucking available. That will solve a big chunk of the fucking problem. No, they're not wanting to ban the shit. They're wanting to keep selling it. They're just wanting to get more money out of selling it.
Yeah. I mean, I would be like, I don't like laws at all. But if it was limiting the amount of sugar per ounce on a drink, I see that as better than a tax. You get more bang for your buck there. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, they keep raising taxes on cigarettes.
Yep.
I've never, ever heard a smoker say, these are now too expensive, I'm going to quit smoking. They don't give a fuck.
I've heard plenty of smokers say, oh, if they get up to $5 a pack, I'll quit.
No, they won't.
And then they get up to $5 a pack, and they don't quit. Hell, they don't even stop buying the goddamn name brands like Camels and Marlboros, because if they've already been smoking Camels and Marlboros, they're just, I mean, I work with people who pay for those fucking name brands. Like, this one bitch, she's been smoking fucking, like, Marlboro Menthol 100 light fucking for 20 fucking years. Back from, like, she's been smoking them since they were $1 a pack. Now they're, like, fucking over $5 a pack. She hasn't slowed down.
Nope.
She got one of those vape things, but then decided not to use it because it's not a cigarette.
Yeah.
I don't see how those... I could do a whole episode just on how much I hate vapes.
Yeah.
Those things irritate me. But beside the fucking point. Beside the fucking point.
Yeah.
People, I mean, it's... Yeah. It's not going to deter people at all. They're just going to bitch, God damn, these are getting expensive. And still buy them.
Yeah, it doesn't... I mean...
Because that's human nature.
I don't know...
Human nature is to not change. The vast majority of humans are fucking happy with the status quo as it is. They don't want their lives fucking changing that much. They don't want drastic changes. Drastic changes with humans cause fucking stress.
Yeah.
It does. You don't like throwing your goddamn fucking routine out of whack. You don't. People the world changes enough as it is. Most humans, like myself, like things to stay as much the same as fucking humanly possible. So they're just going to keep buying the shit, no matter what.
Yeah, it's taxes, whatever.
I can't believe that one line from this pissed us off that much.
Yeah, let's just try to knock this article out real quick. Those listed among endorsers for the concept include Jorge de Santiago. I'm pretty sure that means Wells penis in Spanish. Executive director of El Centro Amistad in Boulder. Nicole Christensen, owner of CrossFit Roots. I think I've heard an interview with her, actually. And Dr. Eric Harker.
Didn't he go after Dracula?
I think so, yeah. Should the proposal make the ballot, we're guessing executive... Does this mean every excellence article look bigger than it should? Like, The font is like, see that every X in this entire article is bigger than it should be.
It is.
Go look at the article, guys. It doesn't. It's pissing me off. I'm being very writer critical today. We're guessing executives at Coca-Cola won't be adding their voice of support. Update. After the original publication of this post, we've received the following death threats. No. We've received the following comments from Christopher Howes, executive director of Colorado Beverage Association, which opposes the excise tax idea. The Colorado Beverage Association believes that beverage taxes are misguided and ineffective policies that have no meaningful impact on public health.
Thank you.
You're fucking smart. You're a jackass, but you're smart. Many cities across the country, including Telluride in 2013, have rejected similar taxes. And in a city continually ranked as the most fit in Colorado, this tax proposal will only hurt small business people. Yes, it will. Because they're taxing the businesses.
Yeah.
They're not taxing the sale thereof. They're taxing the businesses.
Well, they're expecting that to get moved passed on down. They said that earlier. They're like, they're well, taxing
they're expecting
the
expecting it to.
Yeah.
But they're not. Well, I mean, if anything, in my head, it seems like it should be a sales tax. Like, when you sell it, this is taxes added onto it, and
yeah, like,
the vendor, the person taking the money, takes that extra money, and then it goes to the taxes, and not for the manufacturer. I was getting done with this damn article. This tax proposal will only hurt small business on those who rely in part on beverage sales for their livelihoods. Here's the initiative in its current blah, blah, blah. You can read this at Westword. We don't believe in taxes here. Tax is theft. And it's not going to do anything.
Your tax money doesn't go anywhere near where you think it does.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Oh, my God. I think, like, going to go meet you for lunch yesterday with your wife, I explained to her what the federal income tax is. And she was like, no, that can't be right. That's wrong.
Yeah, that's because we want to believe that's wrong.
Yeah, we want to believe that our federal income tax that we're paying goes to, like, fix roads or feed infant kids whose mothers were shot in, like, you know, grenade launcher experiments or something. No, it's
paying off the interest to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, I remember when I first found that out. Topic time?
Maybe? You know, that's another thing that pisses me off. People that serve in the military, defend our borders, defend our country.
Yeah.
Their money allegedly, their paychecks come from taxpayer money, and then they tax them.
That's always a hoot, yeah. You're taxing the taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like eating the shit that you've shat out. Like, it's just getting bad at that point.
Yep.
And on that bombshell.
No.
Let's move on.
It's not on that bombshell yet. Alrighty, we're moving on into our main topic, survival fitness.
Survival fitness, yes. I've really been missing working out. It's been too long, and
that's what she said.
I can't afford to go to CrossFit anymore because it's expensive. And on top of being expensive, and even though, I feel that a lot of people should probably find ways to, like, if you talk to your coach, like, you can do things like clean the gym and get reduced memberships, or, mm-hmm. you know, you can get certifications and, like, pick up coaching a class or so and then get free classes the rest of the week. There's ways to work it out. But on top of that, the closest CrossFit to me is also, like, an hour or something away. So it's a double whammy. So that's a 2-hour trip. You know, and gas, and mileage on the car, and I was like, you know, 30 minutes away, an hour round trip, I can kind of justify that, and I can do things while I'm out, but, so, my goal was, I was like, I need to bring the fitness to me, and, you know, be able to work out at home. I don't have a garage, because I have a tiny house, so a garage would be like, you know, a Barbie car garage.
No, but if you'd actually bought that half of an apartment building,
I could have built a CrossFit gym in there. Yeah, box.
You should get on that. It kills me because there was like this one open side where there's you just fucking nailed it shut with like fucking pieces of like broken pallets. And
of course,
stuff.
I did.
It was all rickety.
Yeah. So yeah, part of when we built that hammock rig that we talked about last episode, we talk about the hammock rig. Yeah. So hammock rig had a pull-up bar. So, I mean, just getting sort of basic fitness things like pull-up bar. Even if you can't do a pull-up, there's still lots of things you can do on the pull-up bar. We built this city. Yeah, so there's that. I had a plyo box, you know, so a jump box with multiple sides to jump on, which also has multiple things. You can do dips on it. You can do, obviously, jumps on it. You can do step-ups if you cannot do a jump. You know, there's just all sorts of things. I wouldn't recommend it, but we're doing some bench presses on it, and it's too wide at its narrowest point. So
yeah, it hurts the back of your arms.
It hurts your shoulder blades. I don't want to like it, but we'll build a thing. So you know, jump box, you know, pull up bar, and then the sort of the pinnacle of my thing was I'd wanted and got an Olympic bar, and that was. I looked around, and I thought I found a really good deal, and I did. I really did. I found it on an unbranded bar. They said it was unbranded. It came stamped Weider, so it's a Weider Olympic bar.
Weider?
Weider, yeah.
Okay, you said that Weider. Too fast. It came stamped Weiner.
Joe Weider, he's a famous person in the workout world. Oh. Stamped Weider.
Weider.
Joe Weider. Yeah, so I think I paid $60 for it.
Huh.
Not bad, because, you know, the one I was eyeballing was $198.
Not bad.
Yeah. So I thought it was a good price. That's without weight. You know, it came with clips, but it did not come with any weight, obviously. And so then, like, the next part of my thing was trying to find some weights. And I looked around. I would say if you set money aside for weights and you're patient, Craigslist is your best bet. I've seen deals pop up on there that were pretty amazing, and they don't last that long, you know. And
you know, why don't we just go ahead and combine the survival thingy with this real quick? Save some
money. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about used weights. Where I ended up getting weights from was Played Again Sports. They're all over. I think the price is kind of, they're a franchise store, so the price is very here and there. The store that I went to, used iron plates, which is what I got, which turns out to be like about the cheapest you can get, were 60 cents a pound.
I thought you said it was 50 cents a pound.
60.
Oh, well, 60.
So 60 cents a pound. And I've heard reports on the internet that you can kind of finagle and haggle with people and work on deals,
mm-hmm.
which I may do in the future. But I saw a deal while I was there. So I got 60 pounds of weight. So I got 225s and 25s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just under like 40 with taxes, like probably 36 or something, somewhere in there, which I thought was a decent deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're going to buy a bar and weights, I would say you might, if I was doing it over again, I would skip buying it, my bar on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have bought the bar and the weights as a package deal.
Yeah.
From Played Again Sports. They've got an Olympic bar, 300 pounds of weight,
mm-hmm.
for 150.
Oh, God damn. That's the deal right there.
That's the deal. Because,
hell, that's just 50 cents a pound for the weights, and the bar is free.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had different bars. Like, they had different bars and different plates with different prices, but the cheapest one was, like, 150, and the most expensive one for a black chrome bar at, like, for a black Olympic bar, like $199 or something.
Fuck, if I still had the money to throw around, I would go get that.
Yeah.
I really fucking would. Then we'd have like fucking...
Well, we'd have more weight. I mean, like I said, though, if you've got the time, though, I still think Craigslist is the best. Because I can get that right now, and there's a couple guys selling bars, like used bars, some good, some sort of beater bars, like outside with like some minor rust on them, $20.
$20?
Yeah. I thought getting another bar and just leaving that fucker outside.
Huh.
I mean,
yeah.
If it rusts, it's $20. Let's go buy a new $20 bar.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're so me, Mike, and I are not, and his wife and his kids are not throwing around enough weight that we're going to be worried about this bar being a cheaper bar. Like, you can go out and buy a really good quality Olympic bar and spend, you know, $200, and you're going to be able to throw 600 pounds on there. We can't lift 600 pounds. No. And we don't have the money to buy 600 pounds of weights just yet. So,
No, but I really want to get up to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, you've, yeah. Okay, there's a reason I'm called Couch Potato Mike, okay? Because we came up with a name for the show. Ha. People wanted me to have a nickname because he's the survival bunga.
Yeah, originally it was CPS Mike and that
Child Protective Services Mike.
Yeah, which didn't make yeah.
No, but fucking the reason. Okay, there's a reason that Couch Potato Mike is so fitting for me. I am a couch potato. I've always considered myself a couch potato survivalist. I have the knowledge, but I'm kind of lazy. But that's the weird thing. The only exercise routines I've ever done were walking. That was it. But I really love the idea of fucking lifting weights.
I think it's ingrained in the male psyche.
Yeah, and I have zero. I won't say I have zero upper body strength. I apparently was a little bit stronger than you thought I was.
You're strict pressing overhead 105 pounds. Yeah, because it was a bar with all the weight on there.
Yeah. So. No, but I want to do more of that because I really want to get ripped.
Yeah. I showed Mike and his wife a couple of the exercises that I knew just because I was excited to have weight on the bar. One, it's nice to have some weight to play with on it, and they're not the right size, but at least the 25-pound plates lift the bar off the ground. Yeah. So you're able to snatch things.
What do you mean it's not the right size?
It's not standard Olympic. The 25-pound weight isn't as diameter? The diameter, like, it's not as big.
Diameter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It should be bigger. Because it's, what, like, 8 inches diameter? Maybe 9?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like, some of the Olympic size plates. No,
it's probably about a foot wide.
Really?
Yeah.
That might be close. Yeah, I can't remember what the, because obviously Olympics are very, like, precise in their measurements and things. Well, yeah. Like if you go get like a bumper plate, which is if you're building your home gym inside, bumper plates are probably something you might want to consider, but you're gonna spend a lot more money for them. Mm-hmm. Their weight's made of solid rubber.
Okay.
They tend to be thicker because you obviously need more material to make up the weight.
Yeah.
A 45-pound weight bar is probably 2.5 inches, 3 inches wide or so.
Mm-hmm.
So technically you can't really get as much weight on there. Like, but unless you're a power lift, you're probably not a concern though. But if you're doing Olympic lifts where you could be dropping the bar from overhead,
right?
You need those rubber bumper plates that'll bounce when they hit the ground.
Hmm.
And they won't smash up your flooring.
Right.
Like, if you drop the iron weights from overhead on, like, a wood or a concrete floor...
Oh, God, you're gonna have holes in your fucking floor.
You're gonna... I mean, you could shatter the iron weights.
Oh,
you could... I mean, those... If I drop my weights on concrete, they might snap.
Holy shit.
From overhead. You know, from a deadlift, probably... I wouldn't want to do that either. That
sounds kind of flimsy.
Dropping hundreds of pounds of iron overhead?
Yeah,
I wouldn't trust it.
Hmm.
Not on concrete. On like rubber flooring or something. Like I'm not too worried about it because we're working out outside, you know, where it's like ground.
Yeah.
Ground
is a bit more forgiving than concrete.
Yeah, and I don't plan on doing a whole lot of
dropping
Olympic lifts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, deadlift, I'll drop the bar. Yeah. that's from like your waist, whatever. But yeah, it was fun to go through some of the lifts. I showed Mike the snatch, and I shouldn't have. I mean, I'm not qualified to teach the snatch. I did it from memory. I'm not the best snatcher. My snatch is not pretty, y'all. My snatch is dirty.
Is that the thing I couldn't figure out there?
Yeah, it's complicated. I gave you like a 5-minute snatch lesson.
I'm like, what?
They're Olympic lifters that train their entire lives to get that lift.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's so many parts. Like,
I don't get why you have to like jump wide and then duck down and get under the bar. I mean,
not with that weight.
What?
Not with the weight that we're using.
No, I can understand if you had a hell of a lot more weight on there to try to get under it just to get the damn thing up, but it was useless at that weight level.
In that weight, yes. But you train that muscle memory so that you can perform that when you have the heavy weight. Because if you're trying to snatch heavy and your form is off, you can fuck yourself up. I damn near dropped the 145-pound snatch on my head one time.
See?
Like, it got funky overhead, and I just threw it behind me and moved.
Yeah.
I was trying to go for one rep max snatches, and I think 135 is what I should have stuck with, and I tried to go for 145, and it was like, nope, yep. nope. But yeah. Oh, I love weightlifting. We're getting super up. So yeah, as this applies to survival, being fit is better. I mean, it makes everything in survival better, easier. Mm-hmm. If you've got to escape and evade, enemies, if you're fit, that's better. If you're sucking wind, probably not as good. I mean, just like if you come to like a log that's fell into the road, and it's say 200 pounds, can you move the 200 pounds out of the road? What if it's 300 or 400 pounds? You know, it's. I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm pondering the questions you're asking.
Yeah, I mean,
ponder.
Yeah, I mean, if you have like a rope in your car and you're strong enough, you could probably pull it out of the road enough to get by.
Yeah.
If you're not, then you might have to turn around and go back. Sometimes we hear of these stories of like, you know, people that get those adrenaline spikes and they lift the car off their like child or whatever.
That's a life or death situation.
I've heard of times where people, it didn't happen. You know, like parents are like crying, trying to get their kids like, you know, stuck out from under, you know, a tree branch or something that fell down. And, you know, they're like, well, why couldn't I do that? You know, and it's like, I would rather rely on strength instead of like fluke biochemical limiter systems being turned off. Like,
yeah, that's what it is. You see, when adrenaline starts pumping, it basically lets your body use its full potential.
Yeah.
It lets you your body use its entirety of its strength. You see, a lot of people don't realize this. Humans are a lot stronger and a lot more capable of certain things than we think we are. But our body has built-in inhibitors that basically keep us from ripping muscles off of bones and tendons and all this shit and destroying ourselves anytime we want to.
Yeah.
But when adrenaline starts pumping, it turns those inhibitors off because this is a life or death emergency situation, and it lets you use everything you've got. But that's the thing. It doesn't turn you into the Hulk. It doesn't turn you into Superman or Spider-Man. It doesn't give you unlimited strength. It lets you use everything you've got.
And if you have more,
then it lets you use more. But if you can, but if your body's like maximum fucking lifting thing, you know, if you can only, yeah, like say a normal person could maybe like lift 100 pounds, and the adrenaline pumps, maybe they can get up to like 200, 250 pounds or whatever. But that's it. If that's all your body's got to give, you're not going to be able to lift that car off your kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's. See, it makes everything better. I mean, just there's no reason to not be as healthy as you can. And I think building a home gym is a good alternative.
I'm not the strongest motherfucker in the world. The only reason I'm strong as I am is because I carry around 300 pounds with me all the time.
Yeah.
Well, 290 now.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I feel like we're rambling, and I had much more things to say. So, yeah, for me, when the weather starts to change, like I just get really like fitness, you know, sort of exercise, go outside and fucking play orientated. Like that's what I want to do. And the winter I kind of just hibernate and I'm like, don't talk to me. It's yeah.
I do anyway.
Yeah. So, I was sort of surprised when I got the weight, like I didn't. I was like, Mike was talking about wanting to, you know, work out, but he's stronger than I thought. And most of the lifts. I mean, obviously, we're not even going to talk about the snatch because the snatch is stupid.
The snatch was dirty.
The snatch is ridiculously hard and stuff. But for the other things, like strict press, back squat, bench press was iffy because not because of Mike, but because of our bench was a piece of shit. But yeah, it was a good sort of quick test of strength, like to see like your overhead, like your shoulder and your back muscles are fairly strong from the strict press overhead.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to get that out fairly well. The bench press, so obviously chest muscles, biceps and stuff, mostly chest muscle, were not as strong.
I have weak chest muscles. I really do. They've always kind of been my Achilles heel.
At least you have two and not one,
like Glenn Tate.
Like Glenn Tate, yeah.
That poor bastard.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So, I think I may have mentioned that I'm sort of training for the, my
Olympics.
Buddy... You know, my buddy Will calls it the Murph Challenge. They call it a Murph Challenge. I'm just doing the CrossFit Wad Murph. I'm trying to train to have Murph done where I can do it on Memorial Day. So I have a couple weeks left. And I've been sore as shit every day doing...
Oh, yeah, that is in May.
Yeah, Memorial, yeah.
Woot, I get a three-day weekend.
I get a three-day weekend this week.
I know.
Well, I mean, it's like in the middle of the week mostly, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's only because you got a one-day weekend the previous
week. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because today should be my off day, and I have to work tonight, so we're doing the podcast.
And the 4th of July falls on a Monday this year, so...
Yeah.
Between those two and Labor Day, I got three-day weekends.
4th of July is on a Monday?
Yep. I'd rather it be on a Friday.
I'm tempted to try to put in for that day off. I have some off time, I know.
You have vacation days?
I have three now.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So part of my training is, as of now, I cannot do a pull-up. So I've been doing negatives to build up the strength, so...
Well, I, on the other hand, can definitely not do a pull-up.
No. Last time Mike tried to do a pull-up, I think he caused a crater. That's where the sinkhole in Mexico came from.
I fucking apologized about that already, goddammit.
So I stand on my plyo box, turned up as high as it can get so that, like, my chin is right there at the bar level.
Uh-huh.
And I step off, it's called walk the plank, so I step off the box, tense up, like, you know, my abs, my back, my glutes, everything, my arms, and slowly lower myself as slow as possible.
Okay.
And it...
That's a negative?
That's a negative, yeah. You're doing you're doing just the downside of the exercise. So, like, when I start working out with you for real... We're going to – I think I'm going to go like some old school like high intensity training philosophy. And instead of doing like multiple sets of an exercise, we're going to do one set to like you're just like I want to die. Like instead of doing like 8 repetitions, you know, and that's one set and then do like 3 or 4 more sets, we're going to do one set. And so like you'll
– I never get the whole fucking like 8 sets of 30 or whatever the – what? That makes no sense to me.
Because it's a break in between. Like,
do you stop in between them?
Yeah, you take like a 1 or 2 minute break.
Oh, okay.
And then you do another set, and that's what starts your next set. But like, you know, so like you would throw in negatives at the end of a set. Like, say you're doing arm curls and you're curling, and you get to the point where like you can't lift it no more. Like, you can get like halfway or something, but you can't do it no more. So like you'd have a partner like give you just like the mildest like help to get that last couple reps in, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then you could throw a negative to really just destroy those muscle fibers. So like I would help you, like I would just push the bar all the way up to its like fully contracted position.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would lower it as slow as you can, because you can still do that, but you can't raise it.
Yeah.
But you can control its fall, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you throw in a couple of those negative ones, and your muscle fibers are like, fuck this, bro, I'm out of here. it's like, fucking, I was reading this book in high-intensity training, and the guy's like, he's like, you've never worked out until you've thrown up from doing arm curls. And the guy's like, I have never thrown up. And then he was like, yep, I threw up doing arm curls, because it's fucking hard as shit.
Damn.
I mean, I've thrown up on a few exercises, on a few things, yeah. CrossFit, like, first couple weeks of CrossFit, I threw up like once.
Do they keep vomit buckets close by? Because it seems like the kind of thing that they should have like on hand.
Some do. I just ran to the bathroom and just chucked. And I was telling someone like couple years ago, we did this July 4th community wide where, you know, a whole bunch of people show up and it's like a like a party but of pain. Like a pain party. And it was called like the 1776 workout, and it was like you split into like I think teams of four. So it was like you had to split exercise like either like 17 or like 76. Like the last thing we did was like 76 wall balls split between the whole team, and I'm like, I hate so wall balls. If you don't know, you take a 20-pound like medicine ball, you throw it at the wall 12-15 feet up in the air at a like target, catch it, come down, do a squat, stand up, throw the ball.
Oh my god.
Catch it, come down. 76 of those as a team. So I think I did 12 of the 76. I mean, I probably did more because like I did until I couldn't do it no more, and then I passed it off, and they did it, and they did it. And one dude was a trooper and did a ridiculous amount. But yeah, we had split all the work. It was fun. I miss CrossFit. Yeah.
Sorry, I was stretching.
Yeah. So yeah, build a home gym. It's fairly, I've looked at, so you can take things like, get 5 gallon bucket from Lowe's, Home Depot, put like a black pipe, you know, plumbing pipe in it, fill it with concrete, let it set, take the bucket off, cause plastic and concrete, they won't stick to each other. Put the non-concrete end in the bucket, fill it with concrete, let that sit. You've got probably 160 pound barbell.
Not bad.
Depending on how far if a 5 gallon bucket will hold 98.6 pounds. So, and normally concrete comes in 80 pound or 40 pound bag. So you could fill it up more and have, you know, like a almost 200 pound thing. For deadlifts, yeah, that would be fine. For most of the stuff, no. But yeah. Used weights. Craigslist is your friend to build it.
I actually just came up with an idea of how you could use those buckets to make, like, removable weights. Basically, you take one of those buckets and you put, like, a PVC pipe in the middle of it. And then you could just pour the concrete around there, and it makes it the right... And if you use the right one, it makes the right size hole where you could just fit it on a fucking butt.
Yep. I've seen people on YouTube do that, and... I've kicked that idea around.
Every fucking thing I invent, somebody's already come up with, except for the fucking Snuggie, and then everybody said that would be stupid, so I dropped it, and then never invented it. I didn't call it the Snuggie, because I'm not gay.
He called it the Slanket.
No, I didn't call it the Slanket. They're actually the first ones that ripped me off. Snuggie did it better.
Yeah. Where are we at in time? Do we have anything left? Like, I think...
Yeah, the nutrition pump.
Oh, God, we're at an hour. Fuck! I was rambling too long.
It sure happens.
Yeah. So, it's summer. Get out there. Have some fun. Lift some weights. Get fit, y'all.
People like to listen to us ramble, dude.
They do. It's
pretty much the high point. That's why we still have those three listeners.
Yeah. This comes from... It was Men's Fitness. This is a Men's Fitness like side website, eatthis.com. It's a pretty good site. So, 23 restaurant foods with crazy high amounts of sugar. I scrolled through this list, and I saw like one of them with like one of the highest amounts of sugar like blew me away. Because if I said this, I'm like... Hey, I'm going to order this. You would think, oh, that's totally a healthy thing. Like, that's a good choice, James. And it's like, fuck no, you might as well order a goddamn, like, Twinkie Brownie or something.
A Twinkie Brownie.
Yeah, I've invented that.
Twinkie Brownie. I'm just pondering the Twinkie Brownie now.
Yeah.
Fuck this article. Let's talk about the Twinkie Brownie.
Yeah. We're not going to read the preamble here. It's at eatthis.com. It'll be a link. You can go to it. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to go through the list of foods. Number 23. Red Robin's bonus wing in Yukon chips with banzai sauce. First off, you would think bonus wings, maybe not terrible, right? You know, maybe. Nutrition, 1,263 calories, 56 grams of fat, 141 carbs, 19 grams of fiber, 47 grams of sugar, 56 grams of proteins. At Red Robin, banzai is code for sugar. The same meal with buzzard sauce has 1 gram of sugar.
Huh. Buzzard sauce.
Yeah.
Number 22, Applebee's grilled shrimp and spinach salad. Grilled shrimp. Okay, when you grill a protein, it usually means that, you know, you don't have the breading on it, so you don't have calories for that.
And spinach.
And spinach.
This is what I was talking about. Grilled shrimp and spinach, you would think, That's healthy. That's a good choice, James.
But the nutrition facts on it are 1,000 calories, 66 grams of fat, 10 grams saturated, 67 grams of carbs, 12 grams fiber, 50 grams sugar, and 44 grams of protein. Eating this food is like getting caught speeding on a road with no posted speed limit signs. Everything sure looks free and clear, but... And just check out those health words. Grilled, spinach, salad. Yeah. A great example of how sugar sneak up on us, even when we think we're eating healthy.
Yeah, like you said, grilled should make you think not breaded healthier. Yeah, and you're getting 50 grams of sugar in a fucking salad. Number 21, Sonic handmade onion rings, family size. There's nothing about that that looks healthy at all, yeah. Nutrition. 1,610 calories, 79 from fat, 14 grams of saturated, 1.5 grams of trans fat. It has trans fat in it.
Whoa, you found it.
I found trans
fat. You found the trans fat.
Yeah, 202 grams of carbs, 10 grams of fiber, 51 grams of sugar, 23 grams of protein. Okay, it is a family size, so you'll be sharing. I bet motherfuckers just eat this thing.
I've often bought the family size of something for myself.
Yeah, but even if you're a family of four, you're still getting as much sugar of a small portion of rings as you would from a Little Debbie's Donut snack. Ooh, I want a 1,610 divided by four, Mike, what do we got there?
Wait, 1,610 divided by four?
Or you can, like, round
it. That is like a 402.5.
Per serving, pour your family of four, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 20, Applebee's sweet potato fries and dips. I've fucking had this before, and I generally know if I'm eating out that it's probably not going to be the best, but...
I like to eat out at the Y.
Nutrition, 1,070 calories, 64 grams of fat, 13 grams saturated, 1 gram of trans fat!
Oh my God.
118 grams of carbs, 7 grams of fiber, 51 grams of sugar, 7 grams of protein. I kind of wonder if that's factoring in the sauces, like if you eat without sauces and ask them not to put brown sugar on it. If that helps out, because I usually do that, but I digress. Sweet potatoes are already naturally sweet, hence the name. But many restaurants feel the need to gild the lily, sugar-wise. Love sweet potatoes? Try these recipes that we're not going to talk about.
Number 19, Sonic Blackberry Green Iced Tea, the large size.
Not the Route 44.
Yep, wait.
Yep, there we go.
Nutrition, 210 calories, no grams of fat, 55 grams carbs, no grams fiber, 55 grams sugar, no grams protein. We've touted the health benefits of green tea enough that you must surely think it's always a great choice, but at Sonic, somebody's cooking up a concoction that turns this healthy drink on its head.
Yeah, 55 grams of sugar. I mean, that's a lot, yeah. That's
yeah, number 18.
Chili's Crispy Honey Chipotle Crispers with Barbecue Sauce. Does not sound healthy, but does sound tasty.
Yeah, let me salute. Yeah, that looks...
Oh! Hold on. Even if it's out of order, I'm going to make you read one on here. I remember there's something on here that you ate the last time that you, me, your wife, and Serenity went to Applebee's. Hi, Serenity. It was the ribs. Ribs is on here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the Chili's Crispy Honey Chipotle Crispers with Barbecue Sauce, it has 1,410 calories, 51 grams of fat, 9 grams saturated, 189 grams of carbs. 189.
Wow.
That's more than that's I eat like, in a week.
The breading.
Yeah. 63 yeah, and grams sauce, the sauce. 9 grams fiber, 63 grams sugar, 56 grams of protein. With the word crisp in the title, twice. Yes, with the word crisp in the title twice, you would think fat would be your biggest worry, but Chili manages to pack 52 grams of sugar in the actual crisper itself before even adding the barbecue sauce.
Hot damn.
Motherfucker.
You spit on the computer.
I spit on the computer, yeah. All over.
Number 17.
Is that inside? Oh, number... Oh.
Olive Garden Strawberry Smoothie.
Olive Garden.
Let me see. 330 calories, 1 gram fat, 0.5 grams saturated fat, 75 grams of carbs, no grams of fiber, 65 grams sugar, and 5 grams protein. They worked some protein in there.
Yeah.
If you thought you were doing the healthy thing by ordering the berry smoothie and skipping the cocktail, you're in for a surprise. Devoid of fiber, this fruity drink has nearly twice as much sugar as a Sprite. For healthier options, DIY your smoothie with one of these blah, 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 blahs.
Yep. 16. God. Pizza Hut, Wing Street, Bone Out, Wings In, Sweet Chili, 6 with 3 ounces of barbecue wing sauce.
Oh, God.
They look tasty.
Yeah, I'm a fan of their Bone Out wings.
Yeah. Nutrition, 830 calories, 27 grams of fat, 4.5 grams of saturated fat, 2,490 milligrams of sodium, 112 grams of carbs.
Oh, my God.
4 grams of fiber, 68 grams of sugar, 31 grams of protein. Anytime a meat has less protein than everything else scares me.
Yeah, that is, except for the grams of fat. The only thing lower than the protein is the fat, and the fat and the protein are the
close.
Good parts.
Yeah, they're close. The culprit here isn't the bird itself. Thank you. But Pizza Hut sweet chili sauce, which is really just a fancy name for a viscous pool of brown sugar. Oh my God. Next time a craving strikes, keep the diabetes risk in check by ordering the naked wings. I do that, by the way. And enjoy 6 of them. This simple slimming swap will save you the 39 grams of sugar. So wait a second.
Yes.
So that's still about half the sugar, really. Anyway.
Okay. Number 15, Chili's Caribbean Salad with Grilled Chicken.
I appreciate you saying Caribbean, not Caribbean.
Yeah, that's Caribbean.
Yeah, it looks good.
Nutrition. Okay, yeah, I mean, it looks like a healthy choice. But with your 720 calories, 28 grams fat, 4.5 grams saturated fat, 1,170 milligrams sodium, 86 grams carbs, 9 grams fiber, 69 grams of sugar, and 36 grams of protein. A salad with grilled chicken. Every skinny girl's cliche lunch, right? But this is a terrible example of sugar hiding in the seemingly healthful dish. After eating Chili's Caribbean salad and its 9 donuts worth of sugar, you'll be less bikini confident than ever. Order the zesty Southwest chicken soup with a side of salad instead. You'll save 60 grams of that sweet stuff and be swimsuit ready by summer. Build a better salad at home, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, with this awesome mesa jar salad
recipe. Yeah, 9 grams of sugar would be much better.
Yeah.
14. Friendly's honey barbecue chicken strips. Yeah, not round here. 1,580 calories, 82 grams of fat, 15 grams saturated fat, 3,170 milligrams of sodium, 168 grams of carbs, 5 grams of fiber, 73 grams of sugar, and 43 grams of protein.
God, it's chicken, but it's got 168 grams of carbs to the 43 grams of protein.
Yeah, wow. I love how the list also increases the sugar. Like, so it is counting down to the number one worst thing, and I've seen that, and for once, I have read the article before we read it on air.
Okay.
These chicken strips are distinctly unfriendly, thanks to a honey barbecue sauce that could put your dentist's kids through private school. Choose the turkey tips, bite-sized pieces of protein-packed grilled meat, and save 1,020 calories and 68 grams of sugar. Wow, yeah, 1,000 calories!
Oh my God.
Yeah, that makes it appropriate. One meal that's 1,580 calories is fucking ridiculous.
All right, number 13, P.F. Chang's Sesame Chicken.
You're terrible.
What?
P.F. Chang's Sesame Chicken.
Did I miss something?
You automatically slipped into your making fun of Asian people accent mildly.
I did not.
Powell Ryan's?
I did not. It's got 890 grams of calories, 35 grams fat, 6 grams saturated fat, 2,250 milligrams of sodium, 82 grams carbs, 6 grams fiber, 76 grams sugars, and 66 grams of protein. Duck, your dinner table is about to get ransacked by the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Covered in a thick coating of sauce, sesame chicken has never rooked Reich the healthiest pick on the menu. But you probably didn't suspect that it has as much sugar as 20 jumbo marshmallows. Damn. Stay away from this dish and the sweet and sour chicken, too. That one came in a close second with a whopping 69 grams of sugar, but at least it has the word sweet in the name. Instead, ask your server to bring you the dynamite shrimp starter with a small side of spinach and garlic as your entree. You'll get the sweet, tangy taste you crave for a fraction of the calories and sugar.
Number 12, California Pizza Kitchen Full Moroccan Spiced Chicken Salad.
Aww.
What is that? What's those beads? Those, what is that shit?
There's like, I don't, they're cubes in it.
Yeah, they're purple cubes. Of scary. Nutrition, 1,500 calories. 99 grams of fat, 10 grams saturated fat, 1,380 milligrams of sodium, 128 grams of carbs, 27 grams of fiber, 80 grams of sugar, 80 grams of sugar, 42 grams of protein. I'm pretty sure Morocco will be annoyed to learn that their top spice, according to CPK, is sugar. For something that looks and tastes similar, but saves you 68 grams of sugar, ask for the roast veggie and grilled chicken salad. Ask for the dressing on the side and only use a few spoonfuls. Plus, enjoy the heart-healthy avocado. Check out these things you're not going to think.
Oh, wait. Applebee's Kids Chocolate Shake. Why is that even on here?
I don't know.
Applebee's Kids Chocolate Shake. 820 calories, 35 grams fat, 20 grams saturated, 110 grams of carbs, 2 grams fiber, 88 grams sugar, 19 grams protein. Hey, I'm surprised there's any protein in there.
Yeah, I don't.
It's got to be from the milk.
Yeah.
Okay, we know chocolate shakes aren't healthy, but this is a kid's drink with as much sugar as an adult should have in 2 whole days.
Yeah, I'm like, so I'm assuming it's a kid's shake. It's got to be smaller size.
Yeah, it's the Applebee's Kid's Chocolate Shake. Yeah, which means it's small.
But it's damn near, it's almost 1,000 calories.
Yeah, they said, it says right there, as much sugar as an adult should have in 2 whole days.
Yeah, it's, actually, you got to read this next one, too.
All right, number 10, okay, these are, god damn it, these are the riblets, so. Number 10, Applebee's Riblets Platter with Honey Barbecue Sauce. Nutrition, 1,100 calories, 51 grams fat, 17 grams saturated fat, 104 grams of carbs, 4 grams fiber, 92 grams sugar, 68 grams protein.
Yeah. 92 grams of sugar.
Yes, honey.
And ribs.
Oh my god, that irritates me. Yes, honey is an added sugar, no matter what Winnie the Pooh says. In fact, 82 grams of sugar in the platter comes from the sauce.
Wow. Jamba Juice Acai Primo Bowl, 24 ounces. It looks like
it's like
a yogurt bowl of
like
granola.
It's like fruit and granola and yogurt, it looks
like.
Yeah,
it looks like something fucking Sam Winchester would eat. Nutrition, 740 calories, 15 grams of fat, 4 grams of saturated fat, 148 grams of carbs.
God damn.
16 grams of fiber, 96 grams of sugar.
Fucking
shit. It has 12 grams of protein in it, though. Energy bowls are a new trend at juice places, but remember that another word for energy is calories. While some of the sugar comes from fruit, much of it comes from honey and granola, leading to more than 2 days worth of sweetness.
8. The Cheesecake Factory Teriyaki Chicken.
It looks like a bowl of shit. Like, I'm not lying. That does not look pretty.
Nutrition. 1,320 calories. 19 grams of fat. 3 grams saturated fat. 3,993 grams of sodium.
Is that the ocean? Did they pour, like, salt water on this fucker?
207 grams of carbs. 2 grams
of fiber.
2 grams of fiber. 96 grams of sugar and 70 grams of protein. Teriyaki is more like it. This entree, which could only have been conceived in a factory, is the sugar equivalent of three and a half Snickers bars and comes topped with 2 days worth of salt.
Yeah.
As much as we hate the idea of ordering anything called Skinalicious in front of a dinner date, the Cheesecake Factory at Cheesecake Factory, that might be your best.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Something coming up from Red Lobster.
We're at 96 grams of sugar. And we just completed the 6-1.
Oh, God.
We still have, like...
We're down to 8.
We're down to 8, yeah.
Yeah, so number 7.
Yeah, we still have 7 more. Red Lobster, a lot of colada.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God damn, that thing is huge.
I don't know if that's, like... Yeah, that's a big, big drink. Nutrition. 580 calories from a mixed drink. 7 grams of fat. 7 grams saturated. 109 grams of carbs.
From a drink.
7 grams of fiber. 98 grams of sugar. 2 grams of protein.
Hey, they got the 2 grams in there.
There you go. Just like chugging 3 cans of Coke in one sitting, a lot of colada means a lot of you. 2. Just one of these drinks before dinner gives you more than 2 days worth of sugars. We know alcoholic drinks aren't a health food, but consider that a Long Island iced tea contains just 15 grams of sugar. Mike, that's what you do.
I love all Long Islands. That's my favorite drink.
Yeah.
Number 6. Panda Express. 2 entree plate with chow mein, sweet fire chicken breast, and Beijing beef.
That I actually kind of want to eat that.
Like, I know. That looks... Nutrition.
Oh, God.
2,310 calories, 107 grams fat, 19 grams saturated fat, 230 carbs, 2,840 milligrams of sodium, 11 grams fiber, 100 grams of sugar,
God damn.
16 grams protein. Panda Express accurately describes both what you're going to look like and how long it's going to take you to get there. They call them sweet fire meats for a reason. Listen to the warning shot and take evasive action. Replace this meal with the chicken and beef. With the chicken and beef will save you 89 grams of sugars and keep that waistline toned and light in record time.
While they try to sell you something.
Yep.
Number five, Perkins Berry Blueberry Pancakes with 2 ounces of syrup. They look like good pancakes.
Yeah.
Nutrition, 1,000 calories, 24 grams of fat, 9 grams saturated fat, 975 milligrams of sodium, 180 grams of carbs, 7 grams of fiber, 105 grams of sugar, and 15 grams of protein. Okay, you know pancakes with syrup is going to be sugary, but holy cow. Perkins, whoever the fuck you are, how did you manage to pack 2 days worth of sugar in one breakfast? This is the sugar equivalent of 4 Dairy Queen vanilla cones. I'd probably rather have vanilla cones.
Number 4. The Jamba Juice Strawberry Surf Rider, 28 ounces. Nutrition, 590 calories, 2 grams fat, 1 gram saturated, 142 carbs, 4 grams fiber, 128 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of protein. Strawberry Couch Rider might be...
That's your new name!
Strawberry Couch Rider might be a better name for this sugary combination of fruit, lime, sherbet, and lemonade. Even downgrading to the smallest size, 16 ounces, will still put you at 70 grams worth of the sweet stuff.
Oh, 128 grams of sugar. Fuck.
Couch Rider Mike.
Yeah, Couch Rider Mike.
No.
Cheesecake Factory is back again with what I've seen this, and I actually was like, I kind of want to eat this on cheat day and go into a coma.
French Toast Napoleon.
With syrup. Look at that, dude.
That does look appetizing.
It does. Nutrition, 2,880 calories.
Holy shit.
For a piece of fucking French toast, y'all. 190 grams of fat, 95 grams of saturated fat, 1,585 grams of sodium, 160 grams of carbs, 7 fiber, 139 grams of sugar, 29 grams of protein.
Where'd they get the protein?
I have no idea. Maybe in the cream sauce. French Toast Napoleon, meet your Waterloo. This one breakfast will feed nearly 3 days worth of sugar and a day and a half worth of calories and nearly a week's worth of saturated fat. Wrong. Oh! And somehow they squeeze in a full day of sodium onto the plate as well. And this war on European powers will take the English muffin over the French toast any day. Unless that day is cheat day, then I'll take the fuck out of that sandwich.
Oh, God, you're giving me more ribs. Boston Market, St. Louis-style barbecue ribs, half rack, with cinnamon apples and sweet potato casserole.
Is this number two?
Yeah, number two. Number two.
Oh, God.
And it looks good.
It does look
good, but
let's
see.
It looks like a TV dinner to me, honestly. It looks kind of like a...
It kind of...
There we go.
1,860 calories, 90 grams fat, 30 grams saturated fat, 3,620 milligrams of sodium, 201 grams of carbs, 10 grams fiber, 162 grams of sugar, and 68 grams protein. With a holiday weekend's worth of sugar and 2 days of sodium, your blood sugar and blood pressure will be in a race to see who can redline faster. Opting for the quarter skinless rotisserie chicken plate will save you a whopping 144 grams of sugar, enough that you can enjoy what you really want, dessert.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Number one.
I saw this and I was like, this is disgusting, but I might want to try this on a cheat day or maybe never. Like, Smoothie King, the Hulk strawberry. Nutrition, 1,928 calories, 64 grams of fat, 26 saturated, 290 grams of carbs, 16 grams of fiber.
Oh, here it comes.
250 grams of sugar.
Wait, scroll back up. Scroll back up to the last thing. I want to see what the jump was. From that, 162 grams to 250. That's damn near 100 grams more. 50 grams of protein.
And 50 grams. Blended to help you get toned, build muscles, and last longer or recover faster. Is the claim that Smoothie King makes for its line of fitness
fitness blends.
Oh, Jesus.
Of which the Hulk is the beefiest. It contains butter pecan ice cream and proprietary weight gain blend. We're pretty sure we know what's in it. About 5 days worth of sugar. Jesus Christ. 250 grams in a fucking smoothie. In the health food line.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People are dumb. Your kids are outside. You have a rant, then we can wrap this bitch up like a taco?
Yes, actually, I do have this fucking rant. It is time for Mike's rant. Mike's rant this week is internet bullshit. Now, I'm not talking about all internet bullshit in general, but I'm going to be talking about all internet bullshit in general. I saw an article the other day. Heard about it. Actually, I didn't see it. I heard about it on a radio show that's also a podcast I listen to on NPR, of all places. And it got me all excited. I wanted to talk about this on the show.
You heard about this on NPR?
Yeah, I heard about this on NPR.
Oh.
It was about something called Calebus, about a scientist in New England who had successfully managed to crossbreed marijuana with kale, combining a superfood with a super great night. Now, I wanted to talk about this. I even sent my co-host a message saying, we have to talk about this. And I did a little research and found out very quickly it was bullshit. It was completely fake. My rant is basically that what the fuck is wrong with you goddamn idiots? You have no life and too much fucking free time that you can just make up bullshit and post it on the internet as fucking Bible truth. Goddamn, get a life. Get out of your parents' fucking basement. And, you know, I don't know, squeeze a tit before you die, okay? Just do something. I mean, because all you people are fucking useless, okay? I mean, what do you get out of that? What do you get out of that? Just watching the world burn? You suck. Go eat a bowl of dicks. Suck Michael Moore's dicks while he's eating a bowl of dicks. And go fuck your mother. And this is Couch Potato Mike, and this is my rant.
Yeah. Wow. Stupid. I was thinking earlier, I was like, well, now that hoaxes came out, I'm sure someone's going to find a way to combine these, to make these. Because that show Breaking Bad, they invented blue crystal meth in it.
Yeah.
And then the market was like, oh, that's what you want? We can make that shit. And they found out a way to make blue crystal meth. So someone will make Calebus. And on that bombshell.
Yeah, and on that bombshell, as I destroy the board, it is time for us to end. So, for the Survival Punk / Nutrition Punk podcast this week, I am Couch / Sweet Potato / Couch Rider Mike.
And this is James Sickwin Burnett.
And keep in mind, everything you have is sugary. Carbs are everywhere. Check your pockets.
DIY, lift weights, and do shit, y'all. You guys.